Good evening. Welcome to episode 136 of the Houston Round Ball Review presents Folks Talking Sports. I am KG Chris Gardner of the Houston Round Ball Review, and joining me as always is my man Willie Gibson from Ohio. How are you, sir?
Fantastic, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. Let's have I'm trying to be objective. Let's have some fun here. Brother Gibson, what are your thoughts on the notice of allegations handed out to the team up north today? Yeah. Ms. Wanda, how are you?
Hey, Ms. Wanda, how are you? My thoughts?
Yes, sir.
Great.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more, sir?
Wonderful. No. I mean, in all seriousness, it expected and true. They've been slowly leaking out over the past 5 or 6 weeks. I haven't, of course, haven't seen the official notice of allegation. We know that Michigan has been served with the allegations, the notice of allegation from the NCAA. Honestly shocked, because NCAA is notoriously for slow walking investigations.
No doubt.
And so for them, quite honestly, to have already provided the notice of allegations to the university is quite honestly shocking. But however, nonetheless, be it interesting to see what additional information that hasn't been leaked that notice contains.
And this is about the sign stealing.
Yes.
Which is there seems to be a lot of evidence in this one.
A lot. Most interestingly enough for me is the day that it broke, current head coach Sherrone Moore, who at the time was the offensive coordinator, deleted 52 text messages between he and Connor Stallions. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that?
Yep.
On the day that the story breaks, not a good look for the current head coach of the team up north.
Yeah, that's not even smart.
No.
And
coupled with the fact that they've already been investigate. First of all, let's put it all on the table. This is one of three concurrent investigations with the University of Michigan and NCAA. So Sherrone Moore and also former coach Jim Harbaugh have been implicated in the first investigation, recruiting during a COVID dead period. So now with this, both of those gentlemen would be classified as repeat offenders.
And one of them is in the NFL, while Mr. Moore is not.
Yep. Now the story goes that if Jim Harbaugh were to return to college football, which, of course, why would he? The school that hires him, one, has to immediately suspend him for one calendar year. And then, two, he has a 4-year show cause penalty.
Yep. And salute to Ben Sutter III for liking us on Facebook, liking the show on Facebook via the Houston Round Ball Review Facebook page. Ben is, of course, the owner and founder of BS3 Network, which we are a part of via our man AJ Jones. So, all right. Got that out the way. What are your thoughts, sir, on the renewed discussions, rumors about UConn to the Big 12? I have a lot of thoughts. I'm going to pick your brain if I can remember all of them, because you know I'm old now. But Ms. Wan, if you have some questions, thoughts about it, please chime in on YouTube. What are your thoughts on the renewed discussions?
I mean, great for basketball, but my initial thought is football is the straw that stirs the drink. And last I heard, UConn football isn't necessarily the powerhouse or a juggernaut that other blue blood schools would be. So while it's great for basketball, both men and women's, on the football side, it leaves a lot to be desired. So it'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out.
So what are your thoughts on, and if you haven't heard, where you've been the last few days, but last week, David Benedict, the AD at UConn, and one of their chancellors, Board of Regents chairs, met with Big 12 ADs about joining UConn, joining the Big 12. This coming week, Brett Yormark, commissioner of the Big 12, is going to meet with the Big 12 presidents and make a presentation about why he believes UConn would be a good fit for the Big 12. Mm-hmm. One of the criteria for UConn to become a member would be to improve and invest in football, because as you said, and UConn football has not been good, has not really sniffed good in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So one aspect of it, I think this is part of the change in discussion, the change in negotiating. I'm curious as who presented it this way, is UConn would not join, UConn football would not join the Big 12 until 2031 at the earliest, assuming they meet benchmarks, you know, investing in the football program, increase the investment, probably increase their football stadium capacity, a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Hearing that, does it make sense to you based on what you said about UConn football being the dregs the last few years?
Does it make sense for them to delay?
Yes, and give them benchmarks to improve their football program.
See, that to me, I would take issue with that, because now you're pitting, it's internal fighting is what it sounds like to me. Because why would you know, some of me is okay, but other parts of me are not. Well, why would the university, well, I know why University of Connecticut would do that. It's financial considerations. Mm-hmm. However, that just seems, I don't know. I mean, that's well, I do know. That just seems petty. From whose perspective? The Big 12. I guess it's like, well, why, you know, you want UConn, but okay, I want you, but your football program, nah, not really. But if you do this, you can come in. So what if they don't? Then what?
And yes, but they will, because they want the football money. They want to be part of a power forward. You know, they being the AD, the chancellors, board of regents, all of them, and UConn wants that. They want that budget because they have a budget deficit. let's call it a buck.
Right.
They have a deficit. So I think they would do what it takes to meet the, and I think the negotiating point would be, what are the parameters and benchmarks for them to reach?
Right.
So that'd be, you know, we could figure out what that is. If it's a new stadium closer to campus rather than 25 miles away, you know, stuff like that. NIL money, budgeting for football, a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Miss Wanda says she agrees, Willie, all or nothing. See, this is why I got to toss in some other stuff. And some, I think the delay is to make Big 12 people happy. Because last year at Big 12 Football Media Day, the Cougs first won, Houston Cougars first won as members of the Big 12. Mm-hmm. It was discussed then. And I think I touched on it, brought up you or Andy or both last year. Brett Yormark wanted UConn last year. Heck, he won when he first joined in August of 2022, when he first became commissioner. Mm-hmm. They had presidents then, ADs then, brought up what you brought up. Their football program sucks. It stinks. It's in the dregs. Mm-hmm. It would just bring down Big 12 football in our conference. So why, Commissioner, why would you want to do this? Yes, you've done a lot of great things for us, but no, you know, UConn basketball, yes, but football, no. So I think this ramp up to 2031 at the earliest, because, you know, that's a part of what's been reported, at the earliest that football would join the Big 12, whereas all the other sports, except hockey, because Big 12 ice hockey mm-hmm. is not sponsored by the Big 12. Mm-hmm. So basketball, baseball is very good. Hell, it's better than UH baseball. Well, that's not saying a lot. But anyway, you know, it is very relevant nationally for UConn baseball. So some of the other sports, I think, would be fine in the conference. But go ahead.
So if I'm Jim Phillips, let's get a little sloppy with it. If I'm Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, and I'm watching all this go down, what's stopping me from you reaching out to UConn right now and say, I'll take all of you right now, ACC, let's go. Why would you? That just seems, and I understand why, but I can throw a wrench in the whole program if I'm Jim Phillips in the ACC. Like, you know, we'll take you as you are, and we'll build up to that once you become full members, once you are members of the ACC.
And let me chime in. CA37 thought they might wait to see what happens with the ACC. That's a different track. Mm-hmm. UConn would be a member, would be a 17th member in the Big 12. And then worry about the ACC imploding down the line when that does happen. But to your point, I would say this, UConn might say no, or probably say no to the ACC because of their instability mm-hmm. with Florida State, Clemson leaving soon. They're going to leave. It's this question. They're going to leave. So you mm-hmm. come out and be like, well, why would I want to join that ship? We have more stability in the Big 12.
Right.
We'll say you to that.
I was just looking at, again, just the whole, you know, I want you, but not football. And then, you know, you've talked about it several times, the football only conference. So what's to say, again, I'm just throwing wrenches in this program all the way around. What's to say 2031 comes and at that point they're at a football only scenario. For example, the ACC, Notre Dame is a member of the ACC and everything but football. So what's the UConn football, if they get up to that point, to say, you know what, we're going independent?
Well, they're independent now. Why do they want to go back?
Right. So I've gotten to – that's my point. I've gotten to the point. I've met your benchmarks, but if I'm improving, then I've already improved to the point where, you know, I'm generating, you know, income as well. Or let's say I'll join – I'm just throwing wrenches in the program. I really am. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. That just doesn't sit well with me, to me, to say I want you, but I don't want your football until 2031. And then in 2031, they don't hit the benchmarks. Then what?
I think that 2031 is a negotiating ploy. I don't know who brought it up. It could have been the ADs, Big 12 ADs, could have been Brady Yormark, whatever. In college landscape now, unless you're Notre Dame in football, being independent is not a benefit to you. Mm-hmm. So UConn joining conference now with Big 12, ACC, whatever, they'll not go back to being independent. they're not that good. They don't have that kind of cachet. They're right. Not Notre Dame.
Right, right. No. I'm just saying, you know, just again, throwing a wrench in the program to say in 2031, okay, I've done everything you wanted me to do, but I'm going to go ahead and stay on my own. I don't know. That's just the whole separatist aspect of that doesn't sit well with me.
And the 2031 year is when the Big 12's soon-to-be media rights deal ends. So 2025, it kicks in 6 years, and it'll end in 2031. And Commissioner Yormark has said in that next deal, so the one beginning in 2031, he wants to split up football and basketball to have separate media deals because he believes basketball is undervalued in the current landscape of media rights and TV rights. I think it is, but still, it's going to always be dwarfed by football revenue. Much to my disappointment, but it still probably can make more money 7 years from now than it does right now. You agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. And I would honestly say, I'm trying to think who I had the discussion with. I don't remember. But the Big 12, as currently constructed, I would call the Big 12 a basketball conference.
Truthfully, I would too. Sure. I'm good with that. I feel great about that. Yeah.
Oh, I know you are. But so to say, I want UConn, but your football program has to get up to snuff. Big 12 football really is not the thing right now. So, honestly, I don't know. That just seems it's very, very pretentious to say, hey, you got to get your football together. When is Baylor football? that's sweet? Is Texas Tech football that sweet? Is that's interesting. That's just interesting.
Utah will be the flag bearer for football.
Yeah, without question.
For a while, you know, Utah, K-State.
Yeah, Utah.
Texas Tech spends enough money. You know, at some point they might put it all together, but maybe not. The CA-37 will be a little weird with odd number of teams. Easy ways around that. That's not that'll be at least other concerns. UConn joins as a 17th member. The ads have been even numbers so far, but UConn as a 17th member, it will happen. And I'll just go ahead and put it up because I brought up this stuff. I did a little YouTube video presentation Saturday with this information, but I want to get to the last bit of this. Let's see here. Because Brett McMurphy from Action Sports Network says it. He said UConn men's basketball coach Dan Hurley is not against a move to the Big 12. A source said, quote, he loves the Big East, but he understands the Big 12 provides more resources and more money, end quote. And the next thing, and this is common sense. Sources said a key component to adding UConn is the 16 current Big 12 members would not see a reduction in revenue. That's important. That would be something that Commissioner Yormark will say in his presentation. But a columnist at the Hartford Current, Dom Amore, love that name, Amore, says, for UConn, this is not about risking basketball to save football. Remember when Dan Hurley entertained the Lakers' offer? One of his concerns was whether UConn would have the resources to compete long-term in this rapidly evolving collegiate world. In the near term, UConn men's and women's basketball will be just fine where they are. But if there is an invitation to the Big 12 or a rebuilding ACC, it will be hard to resist issuing a quick yes from stores, as fond as we all are of the Big East and its conference tournament in New York. But there is also this to consider. Just how long would Big 12 schools expect UConn to wait before reaping the full financial benefits? If UConn, which is trying to narrow its budget deficits, committed to spending the additional money it would take to compete in a coast-to-coast conference, pour more money into football, and wait 8 or 9 years for the revenue stream to kick in, as SMU agreed to do in joining the ACC, that could defeat the purpose of such a move. Here's the last thing from him. None of these obstacles are insurmountable if things align. I wouldn't use the word imminent, but it's inevitable, I believe, that UConn will find a home in a major conference sooner or later. One can only be certain at the moment that both UConn and the Big 12 are open for business and open to doing business with each other. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, he's in Hartford, so he's definitely plugged in. Again, it's just interesting that they, you know, they're going to find a spot. Then it goes back to my initial point, you know, kind of combination for both our points. You know, the minimized or reduction in revenue, but then also a conference that would take them whole. And that just I don't know. That just to me, just upon hearing that, and I heard it for the first time a moment ago, that just doesn't, you know, what athletic director, you know, how do you pitch that to your football program to say, okay, we're gonna go over here and have the surf and turf, but go ahead and eat these beans and franks for about 7 years and then work your way up to the surf and turf. What's the morale of that football program at that point?
And how about this? ESPN, so I can pull it up. Here we go. This is from The Athletic, guys, at The Athletic. In order to feel comfortable adding another school, the current Big 12 members will want assurance that UConn's addition would not dilute their shares of league revenue, as Brett McMurphy wrote. ESPN has previously considered adding more money to the Big 12's TV deal, according to broadcasting sources briefed on the talks. Fox, the Big 12's other broadcast rights partner, may be less inclined to add money as it already has UConn basketball as part of its Big East package. So if ESPN says to the Big 12 presidents, because that's who's going to make the final say, not the Big 12 ADs, Big 12 presidents, yes, we're going to give y'all more money if UConn becomes a member of the Big 12. Does that sway you? And let me say this. If UConn, if ESPN says, Big 12, Big 12 presidents, you add UConn, we'll give you more money. If they say to the ACC, we're not going to give you more money if you add UConn. How about that?
And add them whole?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's my whole thing. If you add them whole, I'm fine with that. But my issue is the separatism.
Oh, no. I'm saying,
yeah.
Depending on what ESPN says. What if ESPN says to both the Big 12 presidents, add them in everything but football for less 3 years. Let's go with 3 years. Forget 7, 8 years, whatever it is. We'll give you more money. But to the ACC schools presidents, we're not going to give you more money. I don't care how you add UConn. Add them whole right now, whatever. We are not giving you more money.
Yeah, my issue isn't with the Big 12. My issue is with UConn, the university athletic department. Why would you carve up your program like that? That's my issue. My issue has never been with the Big 12. It's the athletic director, the athletic department of UConn that will accept that, saying, okay, we'll take everything over here, but leave football on an island. That's the problem for me.
Okay. I understand where you come from. Trust me, I do.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to see the rationale from David Benedict's, if it is from him, because you know it might be from the Big 12 side. Yeah, Brett Yormark is trying to thread a fine needle with his Big 12 ADs who are not happy with it, and say what about we bring him in football down the line,
right?
Try to split the baby, so to speak.
Right.
But. So from that perspective, I can see Brett Yormark suggesting it, trying to make his people come to his side of viewpoint.
Sure.
But from UConn perspective, I don't know. Well, okay, guys, we know y'all aren't happy with us. We know that last year we were watching Folks Talking Sports and we heard this guy, Chris Gardner, saying that our UConn our football program is trash. So that's why y'all don't want us as a 2023. Okay, so what if we do this? I mean, if you are the AD of UConn and you suggested that, how would you spin that to your coach?
Right. Right. That this gives you a peek behind the curtain. In Ohio State, their non-conference schedule in 2025 includes a visit from UConn. So the independent UConn.
Yeah.
Ohio State typically plays one premier non-conference opponent, and then the rest others. So that kind of gives you an indication of what the UConn program is right now. Ohio State plays them the week after they play Texas. And typically, after you play a premier opponent, you tend to play a...
It's a check game. UConn is a check game. Yeah.
You said that, Chris. I didn't say that.
But I'll, yeah. I'll add to it in on this edition of Folks Talking Sports. Thank you for watching us on Facebook and on YouTube. What's wrong with having a conference member that is building a football program? Kansas football has sucked for years until recently, right?
Yep.
They finally started to invest in football. Rutgers football.
That was my one. I was coming.
Has sucked for years.
Yep.
So I don't understand the, what am I trying to say? The thought process from the ADs who are saying we don't want them to bring down our football program, but every conference has a member that brings on your football program, your football conference. Vanderbilt football has sucked for years.
Yes.
Rice football, Coach Bloom, no shade. Rice football has sucked for years in any conference, you know. So why not bring UConn football in if it means your basketball brings you more money for everybody?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. I don't understand the separatism. I don't. I really don't. Listen, you just said it perfectly. Football programs. Yeah, that. I don't know.
For the most part, unless you are a blue blood football program.
Yes.
You will have your ups and downs in football. 5-year cycle, you may just be struggling.
Yep.
8 years, you might struggle until you get back up to it. Need a new coach. New way of doing things, whatever. Okay. I think the head coaches, the ones who are trying to save their job, man, when do we play UConn? On the schedule? Whew, I got a win there. I got a dub right there. They love having UConn football.
Yes.
Until they get good. So I don't.
Yes.
The poo point of not having them in the conference for football, I don't get it. I heard it last summer. And I just nodded my head. Of course, I might be biased because I'm just thinking about basketball, UConn basketball. And having them in the conference would return money to my pocket.
Right.
As it did when UConn was in the AAC with Houston. And my YouTube views skyrocketed talking to Stewie and Stephanie Dolson and Gabby Williams and Gino. And I was in hog heaven, man, with all that. So I'm looking all forward to it if this happens. So I just go ahead, Will.
Give me one second. No, keep going. Sir. I got to step off. Give me one second.
Okay. And let me say this, because I see 837. I agree with this. More money. And ESPN, it was mentioned. I'm not sure if that still holds true. And I really want to get Will's thoughts when he comes back about it. Is why hasn't ESPN made a push or more of a push to have UConn in a power conference like the Big 12, you know, a conference that ESPN carries that league sports? Why not sooner? Because if you take UConn away from the Big East, away from Fox Sports, you're helping yourself and hurting your rival at the same time. So I'm kind of curious about that. Your thoughts on it, Will? Why hasn't ESPN in the past done more to have UConn in the Big 12 or in the ACC conferences that ESPN carries? Because then they could hurt Fox, you know, an enemy, a corporate enemy, if you take away that brand that is UConn.
I'm about to cancel everything I just said because of football. Because of football. That's why.
So, you know, it's interesting because in one sense, football, a bad football team does hurt the conference, whatever conference, especially if you don't have a superpower. Because as you pointed out many times here on FTS and even in our private conversations, the SEC is top heavy, has been for years.
Yep.
But no one talks about the dregs of the conference because it's so top heavy.
Yep. Mississippi State and Vanderbilt on the SEC. If I had to tell somebody walking down the street there, tell me I was lying. Mississippi State is not part of the SEC. Yes, they are.
But the Big 12 does not have now. I mean, because before July 1 of this year, it was Texas and Oklahoma.
Right.
So now they don't have a national power, a nationally relevant top 10 year in, year out football program. But how many folks would even, you know, honestly, UConn becomes a member in 2026 in all sports, joins the Big 12. How many of the people will say, oh, Big 12 football, oh, that's the league that has UConn football now? Oh, man, that's... Yep. That conference stinks, man, because UConn football is so bad. Who's right. going to care if Utah still kicking butt? If Coach Fritz has turned things around in Houston Cougar football, no one's going to care about a drag at the bottom of the barrel of the conference. No, who? So what?
Rutgers has been in the Big Ten for 14, 13 years now. No one talks. Okay.
And you know what? Rutgers is still getting those fat checks.
Yep.
And they're saying, we don't care if people making fun of us. Yep. Those checks still clear, like at Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan. So what?
Yep.
You can't be the same way. Boy, you know, we really are struggling here in football, man. This is bad. We're going to be like 2-9 this year, 2-10. Oh, no. The check clear? Yep. We're out of deficit. Oh, well, who cares? It's all good.
Right.
And then those fans would say, all right, yeah, football team stinks. But basketball season is around the corner. So your next butt kicking is on its way. So, right. You know, that's what this is all about. I just don't. It just doesn't make it make sense to me. Some ADs don't want it. Some ADs are in favor of it. The president's. And last year, the reason this happened is the president, the Big 12 president, did not want UConn to be a member. So I don't know if anything has changed from last summer to now. And 12 Big 12 presidents will have to vote in favor of this. I would think that the newcomers to the conference last year, Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, would be four of the 12. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the new members, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah. I don't believe all four would say no. Let's say it's 2-2.
Okay.
Six. So that'd be six. Of the original or the eight that's still standing, you need to get six out of that eight. Who would have a problem with it? Baylor?
That's a win for them.
You know, Texas Tech? Mm-hmm. Kansas? Oklahoma State? Who am I forgetting? That's part of the original. Who am I forgetting? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't see... It's a problem. Obviously, it's a problem because it hasn't happened yet. And according to Dom Amore from the Hartford Current, UConn was this close to becoming a member of the Big 12 last year before the four corner schools, before the Pac-12 blew up. Mm-hmm. And the four corners school said, oh, Commissioner Yomark, please take us. You know? Mm-hmm. And once that happened, UConn did not become a member. As the commissioner said, yes, we are moving on from UConn because we're getting Arizona State, Colorado, well, the Buffs first, and then other three came along to join the conference. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious as to how this all plays out. I think UConn will be a member of the Big 12.
Whole?
That's what I'm not sure of.
Okay.
Because, again, I don't understand the problem. The logic. Behind it. I know what they're saying, but the logic I don't understand. I mean, they could ramp up because even if UConn becomes a member, they won't join until 2026. And even then, oh, that's what I want to say. Is UConn has negotiated as part of the new media rights deal with Fox Sports for basketball. Part of the negotiation process is they were able to lower their exit fee. from 30 million to 15 million.
Nice.
That's a big deal. We're struggling. That's a big deal.
Definitely.
So the fact they got to do that, I think they're trying to play chess, not checkers. Mm-hmm. But we have cut in half our exit fee, so we can still try to go join the Big 12 or go join a power conference, and that's either the Big 12 or the ACC. Mm-hmm. So salute to them for that. I'm sure the basketball fans at UConn, why are they doing this? Why are they spending all this time on our sorry ass football program? Why do we care so much about this? Why is Benedict wasting so much time on this? What is he doing? And Mr. Benedict can say, well, $44 million coming year in, year out. That's one reason right there. You know, so we have an annual deficit of like $35 million now. A couple of years, we're a member of a power conference. That deficit goes away. But still, football still stinks. The checks are good, people. What I don't understand about that, man. Right. So to wrap it up, I don't understand. UConn football, UConn joins the conference whole in 2026. They will have to negotiate with the Big East the amount owed regarding the notice of leaving, because I still think it is 27 months. Mm-hmm. And 27 months from now, we're like at the end of 2026?
27 months. Yep.
That'd be like November, December, right?
Yep.
Well, you're not going to be starting playing sports in December. Mm-hmm. Not if you know, your objective is to play for the 26-27 season.
Right.
So they're going to have to negotiate an earlier, a less than 27 months part of that. But again, in 2 years' time, with the talk of, hey, we are going to, you know, it's at the end of September this year, it is announced that UConn is the newest member of the Big 12, starting in 2026. Just say, okay? Mm-hmm. In all sports, you give football a year and a half, 2 years to start getting better for 2026. Because you can tell your recruits on the East Coast, hey, we're going to be in a Power Four conference now. We're going to be playing on Fox. We're going to be playing on ESPN. Tell your parents, you can watch us. They can see on a TV, national, and not on digital. They can watch you on linear. Wouldn't that be a help? Right?
Without question.
So, and then you join now in all sports, ramp up, and then start planning for, if you have wealthy donors, and say, okay, I'm glad we are now in a Power Four conference. So let's start planning for building a new stadium on campus. I don't know if that's feasible in stores, whatever, but plan for that, and then that'll be ready in 2029 or whatever.
Help me out, and I apologize if I missed this earlier. Has any information been released as far as what potential benchmarks they would be looking for them to hit?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's got to be, you know, NIL related, things like that. Heck, be convinced they're going to pay the revenue sharing to the student assets. And see, that's a twist to it. UConn right now, as a member of the G5, would pay less to the student assets because they're not a Power Four conference, or unless they can negotiate because they are not a Power Four, because the agreement, the house settlement happened before they became Power Four members. So could we still owe, like, as if we were G5?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So, you know, that's a twist to it as well. This is fun to discuss. I do believe Commissioner Yormark is going to convince 12 presidents, at least 12, to have UConn as a member of the conference this year. Who was I thinking of? Kansas State, Baylor, Texas Tech. That's 4. Oklahoma State is 5. Who else? Well, who are the original, the Hateful Eight? Who am I missing out of the Hateful Eight? Who is it?
Baylor, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State.
Help me out, CA37. Help me out. But anyhow.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to watch Florida State, Georgia Tech yesterday?
Not a lot.
West Virginia is one of them. I forgot them. Okay, so here we go. The Hateful Eight, Baylor, Iowa State. Forgot them too. Iowa State, KU, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, and West Virginia.
Yeah.
So out of that Hateful Eight, let's go back before we get into Tech, Florida State football. Is why would the ADs, and reports where the ADs were not happy with this because of the uncertainty surrounding the House settlement. That had nothing to do with y'all.
No.
Because if it's correct that UConn's joining won't decrease your slice of the pie or decrease your revenue, that has no impact on how you're going to pay the student athletes.
Right.
So why is that a problem?
It's a good soundbite. It sounds good.
Yeah, so that doesn't make any sense. And then the football part of it, I mean, right now, this year, Houston Cougars football might be the worst team in the Big 12. But they're going to build, and get better, just like I think UConn would, if they are serious, because that's what it comes down to in any conference.
Mm-hmm.
Is the administration serious about winning football? Or are they just serious about academics or another sport? Mm-hmm. Look at Vanderbilt. They don't care about football, Will. Let's be real. They don't care about football.
They don't.
They are thrilled to be in the SEC and getting that money.
Yep.
Period. All right. Florida State football, talking all that smack. Top 10 ranked, favored by double digits. Go to Ireland to lose to Georgia Tech on a last second field goal.
Yep.
24-21. Salute to Coach Key, Georgia Tech, and the trenches. They dominated Florida State on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Norvell, Florida State head coach, I don't know what he was looking at. And I say this because, well, 0 week, many instances, you're playing a non-conference opponent.
Yeah.
So the style of play might confuse you. You don't have enough tape on them, so you don't know what to expect. Well, isn't Georgia Tech in the same conference as Florida State?
That's the check.
They brought back almost everybody on offense and defense. So why, Mike Norvell, did your offense and defense look like you were facing an opponent you had never seen before in life?
Well, DJ Uiagalelei, I knew it. I was going to try to say his name. DJ Uiagalelei. I'm gonna have it fixed by next week. But new quarterback at his third school.
Yeah.
He's from Clemson initially, so he's familiar with Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
But he looked, I don't know what he was doing. And it was funny, his dad came out today and blamed everybody else. The coaches, the players. Didn't blame number 5 though. But I'm just saying.
I won't blame DJ yet because he's new, and I'm not sure if he has the is allowed to call audibles.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were times looking at Tech's defense, you could see stuff coming, and he just didn't change the play line of scrimmage. I'm like, bro, what are you? You could see stuff coming, and then mm-hmm. just he stuck with the play, blew up in his face. So Mike Norvell, you know, he said all the right things. He did not toss his players under the bus like some coaches do. But his excuses were so weak and wishy-washy. That's yeah, right. We saw them last year. We knew they were a good team. So why do you make changes, sir?
Yep.
They were kicking your left side of the defense, just pushing them back, play after play, running the ball down your throat. Mix it up. Run blitzes. Mix it up. Do something. Your offensive line was getting pushed back. Pull your quarterback out. Mm-hmm. These little five-yard routes. Little pity-pat passes, man. Mm-hmm. It was just so conservative. Yep. If Florida State has more athletes, has better depth, better quality depth, Will, I thought you would want to speed up tempo, play your guys, and wear down your opponent because you have better depth.
You would think?
I would think so. No, no. Florida State's like, oh, well, they have seven possessions. We have seven possessions. So, hey, they're going to just run it on our throats? We'll just sit there and take it. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. But if there was a year to do it, it was this year, in the year of the 12-team playoff. A team with two losses is going to make the playoff.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the season isn't over.
Yeah.
They can still win the conference. They need some help now because they can't finish tied with Georgia Tech with one loss.
Yeah.
But the play calling was just so, so conservative. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Well.
And then next week they play Labor Day, right?
I believe so, yes.
No, they don't play LSU. LSU plays USC in Vegas. I know that, right. Yeah. Florida State is on Labor Day.
They play Boston College.
Oh, they're fine. They're fine.
Yeah, they'll find
a
way.
Oh, I don't know, Bill O'Brien.
They'll find a way. I mean, they're favored by 17. But
is that Chestnut Hill?
No.
Oh, so Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bill O'Brien.
And the defense looked shaky too. They couldn't tackle.
And that's my point. Bill O'Brien, NFL offensive guru.
Yeah, he'll make them look. He'll make them think. And that's one thing. It was clear that the looks that Tech's offense gave them confused them so much. I mean, guys are trying to run. Where am I supposed to be?
So if Brent Key did that, what is Bill O'Brien going to do?
You know, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
0-2.
Yeah. Mr. Gibson,
yep.
I'm going to play this soundbite for you from Wednesday's introductory press conference of Eddie Nunez, the new Houston AD, Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics. This is my question, Mr. Gibson.
Yep.
Notice, be observant. Okay, be observant. When asked, after I ask the question, notice the expression on UH Chancellor, UH President Renew Couture to Mr. Nunez's right, sitting down. Here we go.
Mr. Nunez, Chris Gardner, right here. How important is women's athletics, the success of them, to you?
It's huge. It's huge. I've always been a passionate supporter of women's sports. From my days at LSU, even before that, I remember at Florida as a graduate student watching the successes of my peers even before that with women's soccer winning national championships, and I saw what it did for the rest of the department. Fast forward to where I am, where I was before at New Mexico. Women's sports, they took the reign for us in the beginning through some of the challenges. They are the ones carrying that flag. And so I knew the importance But I also knew that their support and vice versa, the support of the men's student athletes of them is what helps us be successful. Lastly, I have two daughters that I want them to have every ability and opportunity in life. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes, not just to support our women student athletes, but make sure that just like in the men, everybody else is give them a chance to be great and be successful.
What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, first on her expression, it almost looked like she was saying, thank you. Like somebody asked him about women's athletics. Yeah, as far as his answer, yeah,
it was chalk.
Yeah, I was saying the answer was, you know, media relations 101. That's what that was. But her expression, yeah, it was almost like thank you.
But you know, I had to ask it.
Yeah, of course,
because no one else is going to ask it. You know, so but when I did ask it, I heard murmurs in the audience. Chris asked that question. Oh no, no, like it. And certain folks were in attendance too, Will.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. Folks. Yeah. I do. Of course they were. Yeah.
But your impression so far with the Ohio State offense, I'm assuming he means this, not Oregon State, on a new OC Chip Kelly.
We'll see Saturday. They've had a couple of scrimmages. My expectations are, there's weapons galore on that side of the ball. Will Howard is going to see receivers open like he's never seen before. He has 2,000-yard running backs at his disposal in the backfield. Offensive line is coming together. I think Chip is going to have a lot to work with. I think it's going to be a fun season. I think the line on Saturday versus Akron is 50.5. That's interesting, man. But yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Thank you for this, Mr. Cardenas. Thank you for that. Asking the question. Yeah, I was going to ask a question. I had two questions in my head if I was going to ask which one to ask, and I decided on that one. All right, closing moments of this edition of Folks Talking Sports. Do you watch any of the Chicago Sky Las Vegas Aces game today?
I saw the last play.
That's a great play call and execution on that one. Boy.
Yep. Yep.
Chicago made a comeback. I want to say they scored like the 11 straight points to tie the game up at 75. And let me say this. Aces were up 3. 5 seconds left, Will. Foul. Come on now, foul. It didn't foul.
Hit the 3.
Kennedy Carter, good move. Shook Jackie Young.
Hey.
Hit a 3. Yes, sir.
What's up with her and Marina Mabry?
Yeah, well, that's why Marina got traded. Yeah. You know, so Marina's in a happier place at Connecticut. So,
but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, hey. So I think they had issues when they were together in Chicago. But after I'm shaking my head at Becky Hammon, why didn't you foul? Why didn't you foul? Game tied up, 75. Call timeout. Advance the ball into the front court. I think it was Jackie Young on the inbound. I think it was. Plum had a great back pick on Angel Reese.
Yep.
Jackie made a great pass to Asia Wilson on the move.
The MVP.
And Asia scored a layup at the buzzer to win the game. And Las Vegas is 18-11. They needed it, too, because they were struggling. This was a lost week for them, losing 3 times, really. And Chicago is now 11-18 and probably will be passed by the Atlanta Dream in the standings and miss the playoffs. It's only a half game of difference now. Oh, I didn't know this. Derek King is on the SMU staff. Good for him. Get that money. Get that money. Good for him. What if they play Florida State this year? Might take the Mustangs on that one. Based on what I saw Saturday. Woo, boy. But Las Vegas won snapped a little skid in the game. Angel Reese, Brother Gibson, became the first WNBA player to get to post three consecutive 20 rebound games. That's impressive.
Very. I saw a clip where she had four offensive rebounds on one play.
Yeah, she was out hustling Asia Wilson. She kept missing the putbacks. She was doing Moses Malone. That's what she's doing. But I want to say, let me see if I can pull it up here. Those three straight games of 20 rebounds.
Was it Yolanda Griffith?
Chicago has lost all three of them.
Oh, she lost all three of them. Oh. Okay.
And since the Olympic break, they played five games. They are 1-4.
Mm.
The one win is over the woeful Los Angeles Sparks, who apparently LA's lost 7 or 8 in a row, counting today's loss, and lost to Dallas, who they led by 22 points and lost in the fourth quarter. They gave up a 40 piece in the fourth quarter and lost by 3.
Wait a minute. So the Sparks were up by 22 in the fourth quarter and lost?
They were up by 19 in the fourth. I think the largest lead was 22.
Oh.
They were up 15 with 8 minutes to go.
Oh.
Yep. So, but Angel Reese, double doubles left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not winning. Will that be enough for her to not be Rookie of the Year?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they are 11-18. Caitlin Clark and the Fever have a better record. It's not a lot, but still a better record. They're 13-16. Chicago is clinging to the eighth spot, you know, that final spot in the playoffs, but they're only a half game up over Atlanta. And like I said, I think they'll be passed. Mm-hmm. So if they don't make the playoffs, I think that'll be it. They'll be done. I don't think Angel will have a chance of being Rookie of the Year because the Fever will make it unless they collapse.
Can I tell you something just between you and I?
Yes, sir. In our audience?
She doesn't have a chance now.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Even though despite her double doubles, despite her tremendous rebounding, I don't think she has a chance.
And that's no shade on Angel from my part. That's not
understood.
That is meant for. But
yeah,
she's not going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. All right. Miss Wanda says that she thinks Derek had a role Mustangs last year. Salute. Salute to him. Went to high school with his dad, Eric King. Derek was 2 years ahead of me, I think. And Walter football was good when Eric was quarterback. And just leave it at that. May Eric rest in peace. He died tragically a few years ago. That'll do it, Brother Gibson. Put this up, get you ready to shine your moment in the sun. As soon as I find everything, it always does this to me. He is, of course, Willie Gibson, the man. There you go, Brother Gibson.
Thank you, sir. You can always find me on social media as the Crawl States there on X. I got to say X now because it won't let me type Twitter on my phone anymore. But X at Will Gibson 7 on Facebook, Will Knows, and on IG and Threads at Will Knows Sports.
And I am KG Chris Gardner. Couple of things real quick here. Put on the crawler, way to support the Houston Round Bar View Cash App. my government name, Christopher Gardner with a K, but also Zelle, and as well as PayPal. And if I can bring it up very quickly, if you want to, you can just scan the QR codes as well, right there. Scan those QR codes, help the Houston Round Ball Review. Keep the lights on. Support the Houston Round Ball Review. The QR code for the Cash App, the QR code for Zelle, because this is a DBA, a sole proprietorship. Then we're going to grow when I have a staff and pay my employees. That's down the line. another huge goal right there, but also the PayPal tip jar. So there are the QR codes. You can scan those and support the Houston Round Ball Review. I urge you, knock on wood, two things. Knock on wood, this happens. I have an interview tomorrow with someone high up. Let's leave it at that. Related to women's hoops. I, for the second year in a row, but at least the third year overall, will be a voter, a national voter for the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame Awards on, I think, three of those positions for point guard, shooting guard. So the Ann Myers Drysdale Award and the Nancy Lieberman Award, and also power forward Katrina McClain Award. So once again, I was asked if I'd be willing to participate in voting for that. Of course, I'm not going to turn that down. Yeah, yeah, no doubt I'm going to do that. So yes, my affinity and appreciation for women's basketball runs deep. Will knows it. Miss Wanda knows it. The national folks know it as well, and they still think of me, respect me enough to ask me to participate, even though one of the local teams, you know. Anyway, so wrap it up. Yes, knock on that wood. Hope that the interview goes as planned. Oh, Coach Fritz, Willie Fritz, has his first press conference tomorrow, Monday. Let's see, on ESPN Plus. It's set for noon. So if you have ESPN Plus, you can watch Coach Willie Fritz on the Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus talking with the media. I'm going to try to make it there, assuming my interview is over in time to go to that. So to wrap it up, Brother Gibson, as always, thank you for your time and your insight.
You
appreciate you. We may have at some point, maybe soon, a new guest appearance by a young lady who is a student at UH. She wants to get into what we do. Mm-hmm. So I've invited her to be a part of FTS. Want to find out how much she knows about sports. And we'll work on that. But as always, Mr. Cardenas, Miss Wanda, CN37, and everybody watching on Facebook, Ben, of course, everyone watching on Facebook and on YouTube, we hope you enjoyed our thoughts on the UConn to the Big 12 rumors. More to come on that. I'll save that for Mr. Gibson off the air. But always keep this in mind. Get you a mug, buy you some FTS merch. That's another way to support the Houston Round Ball Review. But since 1994, the Houston Round Ball Review, local name, global perspective. Everyone, take care. Peace.